experience what's going on in heaven, because they're celebrating. They're worshiping all the time around the throne, and we have an opportunity to do that this morning. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that this is a day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus, we're thankful that you rose from the dead. We're thankful that you overcame death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, Lord, we live in newness of life, and we celebrate that today. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Missed that start, but we'll come around. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. I came across this reading and it so touched me, I thought that I might share it today. It's called On Saturday. John, which is the disciple that Jesus loved, John didn't know on that Friday what you and I now know. He didn't know that Friday's tragedy would be Sunday's triumph. John would later confess that he did not yet understand from the scriptures that Jesus must rise again. That's in John 20, verse 9. That's why what he did on Saturday is so very, very important. We don't know anything about this day. We have no passage to read, no knowledge to share. All we know is this. When Sunday came, John was still present. When Mary Magdalene came looking for him, she found him. Jesus was dead. The master's body was lifeless. John's friends and future were buried. But John had not left. Why? Was he waiting for the resurrection? No. As far as he knew, the lips were forever silent and the hands forever still. He wasn't expecting a Sunday surprise. Then why was he here? You'd think he would have left. Who was to say that the men who crucified Christ wouldn't come after him? The crowds were pleased with one crucifixion and the religious leaders might call for another. Why didn't John get out of town? Perhaps the answer was pragmatic. Perhaps he was taking care of Jesus' mother, or perhaps he didn't have anywhere else to go. Could be he didn't have any money or even any energy or direction or all of the above. Or maybe he lingered because he loved Jesus. To others, Jesus was a miracle worker. To others, Jesus was a master teacher. To others, Jesus was the hope of Israel. But to John, he was all of these things and so much more. To John, Jesus was a friend. You don't abandon a friend, not even when that friend is dead. John stayed close to Jesus. He had a habit of doing this. He was close to Jesus in the upper room. He was close to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was at the foot of the cross at the crucifixion, and he was quick to walk from the tomb at the burial. Did he understand Jesus? No. Was he glad Jesus did what he did? No. But did he leave Jesus? No. What about you? When you're in John's position, what do? When it's Saturday in your life, how do you react? When you're somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, what do? Do you leave God? Or do you linger near him? John chose to linger. And because he lingered on Saturday, he was around for Sunday to see the miracle.
Creation, there at the start, before the beginning.
Great job, Elena. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take communion this morning, and as we celebrated through our worship and our communications with our lips and our hearts, this is an opportunity for us to do a physical act where we get to continue our act of worship and our act of participating and in thanksgiving, joining in with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus says that as often as you do this, you proclaim my death, you proclaim my burial, you proclaim my resurrection. And that we're to do it to remember him, and not just remember that he hung on a cross for us, and that he was broken, and that his body was brutalized, and that he spilled his blood for us. Yes, we're to remember that, but we're also remember what that means, that because his body was broken, our bodies are made whole. Our hearts are made whole. When he was broken, it says in Isaiah 53 that he was chastised so that we could have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that doesn't make sense in the natural realm. Peace that when you're going through a crisis like John was, he still remained there. Because what Jesus imparted in him, I believe, is why he was able to remain. Because what Jesus imparts into us gives us the ability to go on to tomorrow. So let's go ahead and gather around here as a family. And I want to thank Tim and Vicki for supplying the articles for communion. And we have true matzah bread, which means unleavened bread. So, right? Come on up. Grab a cup and grab a little chunk of bread. This is our family style of communion, so we... Did you get your stuff yet? Oh, you got it. Good. Praise the Lord. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says that he took the bread and he broke it. And he says, this is my body that is broken for you. And so even though this is a piece of matzah bread, spiritually speaking, it's Christ's body. And when we participate with this, when we take this into our bodies and when we chew on it, I want us to remember that Jesus says that if you eat my body and you drink my blood, that you'll have life and life eternal. And it sounds kind of gross, but it's a supernatural identity. It's a supernatural experience that we participate in. It's not physical. Even though we are doing a physical act, what's happening supernaturally is that the life that Jesus now has is coming into a new awareness in us and becoming more manifested in us, becoming a reality. So Lord, we thank you for your broken body. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your body represented the veil that separated God and man. And Lord, that as your flesh was torn, Lord, that the veil between God and man was also torn. And that we now have full access to the Father, full access to his love, full access to all of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Lord, because of your broken body, you've given us access once again. And so right now, Lord, by faith, we just take this bread and we participate. We have communion now with your broken body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then likewise, he took the cup and he says, this is the new covenant, the new promise that I'm making with mankind. The old covenant on that night was ending because Jesus was going to become the atonement for mankind once and for all. And so his blood represents the new covenant, which the new covenant means for you and I that our sins are totally forgiven, that we're washed clean, that we're purified, that we're white as snow. I don't know about some of you, but that's good news. That I'm no longer having my old behavior hung over my head, but that the newness of life that comes with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is now imparted to us. So the righteousness of God that Jesus Christ has is now our righteousness. And so let's just remember that as we take this cup, that we participate in Jesus' holiness and righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a little garbage over here for your cups. The little cups.
Little garbage
for the little cups. There you go, Jess. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, bro. Love you.
Love you too.
What's next is, yeah, we're going to talk, yeah. I can't really sing it. He's in the bass. The music on.
Y'all join with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Isn't his amazing grace just
yes,
amazing?
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I need to pull this over, honey, and come this way.
Come this way? Oops.
Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Already into the verse there. It's,
what I love about God is it would have only taken one drop, but he gave it all.
Mm-hmm.
One drop would have saved the whole universe. All of creation. But he gave it all because of his love. That is amazing grace.
Amen. I forgot to send this to you, so you can read it from here.
I think this is where he is.
No, I didn't send. I didn't have a chance to.
Oh. Okay, hold on. Oh, this isn't the right one? Oh. Then I read the whole wrong thing. Here you go.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the resurrection. Saw Tyson this week and he says, I bet this Sunday we're going to talk about resurrection. I said, wow, you're prophetic. And well, because it's not like we talk every time about the holidays and stuff, but already Tyson, which is interesting, a few days before that, the title of today's message, The Resurrection, came to my heart. So we are talking about the resurrection. But we're not just talking about Jesus' resurrection and the event, although we will have a reference to that. What does the resurrection mean for our lives? What is it that Jesus accomplished for us? Because I'm telling you, as much as Jesus rose from the dead and was thankful for that, he's more thankful because of what it does for us. That's the love that emptied itself for mankind so that his love could then be filled in us. So do you want to go ahead and...
We're going to read from Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
So this is Matthew's account of the resurrection. All of the Gospels of the Bible have somewhat a little bit different accounts, different perspectives, and what they were seeing, what they were experiencing. And so what we see here is that Jesus was not in the tomb anymore. One of the Gospels talks about that when the disciples came in and they looked down, they saw the sepulcher, and that they saw that his clothes were I guess for lack of a better term, like crushed. Because when Jesus resurrected, he had been like wrapped almost like a mummy. They used spices and all types of other things to keep the body from stinking. And so it says that when the disciple looked in, he believed. And I believe what he saw was just the cocoon that was left from Jesus being resurrected. And that his head garment had been folded up neatly and set up towards the top. Almost like in a way to say, someone didn't steal the body. It's like, I took care of it. And so what we see here is that the resurrection was the very kind of, other than him being with the disciples, was the very last thing that happens in this ministry, this earthly ministry of Jesus. After this, it's all going to be the new glorified Christ. But his resurrection was when his body was being transformed from a corruptible body into incorruptible. And we'll see what that means for us. So let's go ahead and take a look at Acts 4, 1 through 2.
And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
So here we have the disciples at the apostles at the very beginning of their ministry, and they're ministering to the people, and the Sadducees were of the religious group that did not believe in any resurrection. They did not believe that there was an afterlife. And there was a saying that I always use to remember what a Sadducee was. It's like the Sadducees, they don't believe in a resurrection, so they're sad, you see. You guys have heard that, yeah. So it's a good one to remember, you know. The Pharisees, which the Apostle Paul, Saul was, he believed in a resurrection. He believed in the supernatural, but the Sadducees didn't. So they were extremely annoyed that they were preaching about Jesus and that he had rose from the dead. Okay, let's go into Acts 4:33, sorry.
And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
So
if you look, that the individual who communicates in Acts, which we believe is Luke, he is letting us know. Oops, sorry, I want that there. He's letting us. I can't barely see that back there. He's letting us know that it was with great power that the apostles were giving their testimony. They were letting people know what Jesus and who he was, but they were communicating that he had risen from the dead, that he was resurrected, that he wasn't just somebody that were following their teachings. In other words, his teachings were really good. So let's continue to know their gospel, the good news that they were preaching, is that Jesus had rose from the dead. Okay? Romans 4, 24 through 25. I know we're, was that, no? Oh, you're right. I did get that twice, didn't mm-hmm. I? Okay. Maybe I didn't think once was enough.
But for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
So, but for ours also, and it's kind of continuing a thought, because this is Romans 4 is talking about Abraham and him believing and him being justified by faith, not by his works. He was justified because he believed. He wasn't justified because he had done all the things that God had asked him to, even though those followed his belief. And so it's for us also, it will be counted us to who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. Who raised our Lord Jesus Christ. Who was that? That's God himself. And who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So, one of the things that the raising, the resurrection of Jesus does for us is justification. Now, what is that? Justification. Do you know what it is?
Just as if I'd never sinned.
It's another little cute phrase.
Justification,
that we,
just as if.
I'd never sinned. So if we have been justified and we are looked at as just as if I never sinned, then what does that really mean? That God sees us as if we've never sinned. That the just is just as powerful as you never sinning. Again, good news. And when we remember in communion, his body being broken, his blood being shed, we're remembering that we have been made righteous. It's not that we just live righteous and that makes us righteous. Our righteousness that we live is only following what's already happened inside. If you remember, we've been teaching over the past few weeks on Christ in us. The Holy Spirit in us. And that work in us is what changes us outwardly.
Right.
That it's not an outward work that changes us inwardly. Now let me just ask, anybody here, has anybody here tried to change their outward habits, habitual things that you did, and tried to make it so that inwardly you would remain and stay the same? Yeah. Did it work? No, it doesn't work. You can't change yourself outwardly and affect yourself inwardly. But you can allow what's happened in you inwardly. So it's already a done work. You can allow that now to change your outward behavior and thinking, which is good news. Got a lot of good news here today, don't we? Resurrected Jesus, justification. Okay, let's see what else we've got for us.
Romans 6, 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life.
So this is another, I mean, there's all kinds of little aspects of what takes place when we receive Christ and we start having this resurrected life now living in us. So we were buried through him by baptism. So in the act of baptism, we are now identifying, just like we do in communion, we're now identifying that just as Jesus died on the cross, we're identifying with us being crucified with him. We're being buried with him, and when we come out of the waters of baptism, we're now identifying with his resurrection.
Right.
And what we're not, you know, we're not just, you know, doing this so that, you know, we can cleanse the outward man. You know, another place it says that baptism isn't just so that we can get rid of our outward filth. It's something, again, that's taking place inside of us. Even though there's an outward testimony, a lot of times people, when they get baptized, they, you know, we were baptized this last summer. Tim, I remember that. And Becky, I mean, it was just like spontaneous. You guys went for it. But I mean, I wanted to re-identify with the fact that I was crucified with Christ and that I was resurrected with Christ. And it was like all these years after I had gotten baptized, which was shortly right after I got saved, I had learned more about what really transpired in those waters of baptism. And I wanted to re-identify with them. Especially the fact that now we can walk in a newness of life. That we don't have to walk the same old way. We don't have to continue to repeat, you know, yesterday's, I guess for lack of a better term, habits, patterns, ways. We can walk in a brand new life. And that life isn't just changed behavior. It's also glorified. It's also given a new life to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
I like the way that Panda described it on Wednesday night. She was explaining baptism to her daughter, and she said, when you go down in the waters of baptism and then you come up, all of that stuff is laid out down in the bottom of the water. Like you're coming up free and clean and whole. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians to be water baptized. So it's a physical act of something that happened deep within us. So we are going to have water baptism soon, just in case you guys want to be baptized.
There you go. And if you want to be baptized again, if you've learned, you know, you've come to a greater revelation of what it means to be a child of God and what it means to be born of the Spirit and what it means to be, you know, not having to be slave to your old sin nature, but being a slave to Christ and being raised into this newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that it says that we're new creations of God. We're kainos beings. We've never been like this before because of what Jesus accomplished in us.
And that's how God looks at us. He doesn't look at us like the enemy wants us to look at us. The enemy wants us to see all the stuff before. The enemy wants us to look back. But if you are in your car and you're going straight ahead, you're going to look through the windshield and you're not going to drive by the rear view mirror. It's a small snapshot.
Hopefully not, yeah.
It's a small snapshot of your life. And you don't have to live back there.
That's good.
That's done and that's over with. There's a new life in God. And God sees you in that new life. The enemy is the one that reminds us of the old. God is the one that is our new.
Amen. That's good. So Romans 6:9 says this.
We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him.
Well, that sounds great. Jesus rose from the dead, and now death no longer has dominion over him. But guess what? As he is, so are you, it says in 1 John. So death no longer has dominion over you. To the place where Paul didn't even say that people had died. He was saying they were asleep. As far as we're concerned as people, your mom and dad who have passed, other people have passed, Aaron who has passed, to us, it's only like they're asleep because they're really alive.
Yeah.
And they're more alive than they were when they were here. Mm-hmm. But to us, we don't see them. We don't get to interact with them in a way that's on a natural basis, even though somehow, some way in God, we're connected with them. Even right now, it says that there's a great cloud of witnesses that even surrounds us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So death no longer has a hold on Jesus or dominion.
It doesn't have a hold on us.
And it doesn't have a hold on us. Keep that in mind. Don't let the enemy give you a fear of death. Because I believe, as anybody, you know, and I've heard of people that they don't fear death, and you know, and they go and they lay down their life for others, but we should be of the most type of that type of people, because we know if something happens to us where we're going, and we know that when we go there, there's only love, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Just this past 4 months, I've gone through two really scary health issues. And it's amazing to me how I was not fearful. Normally, I would be. Like, just recently, I've watched both my father take his last breath and my mom, and I didn't do so well through all of that. But as I walked in this season of life in the last 4 months, and I've had these two health scares, it's like, God, if you use these two health scares to bring others to you, or to for them to see your goodness, whatever, you know, I'm good with that. And I was really, wasn't I, babe? I mean, totally not like me. I was really good with it. And if it was a sentence that would eventually, I would die from it, I was okay with that too, which is totally not like me. So God is, Mike is right. God does not want us to be afraid of death. And the enemy wants us to be afraid of death. And we shouldn't be, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Sounds like a win-win situation to me.
Amen. Okay, Romans 8:11.
If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
So this is a scripture we had last week. And again, it's part of the Christ in you series that we're doing. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Another scripture says quicken our mortal bodies. Means to make alive. Mm-hmm. So not only do we not have to fear death, and not only does death not have a dominion over us, but through the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, raised Christ from the dead, which again we know is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus raised himself from the dead, so to speak, right? But that same Spirit of Christ gives life, makes us alive. We should be the most alive people out there.
And this is the dunamis power.
This is that dunamis
and
power.
I want you to show everybody how you do that, because you do.
Oh, well, yeah.
Come on. You
got to
do it.
Yeah.
The power that's in us, we really mamby-pamby it down.
Yeah. It's like a thermal nuclear bomb going off, and that's what she wants me to.
That's what I want him to do. And it just gets, I mean, that's what's in us. Do we live like
that? Loud enough?
I don't think we do that. I don't think we live like we have that in us. But we do. And that is like amazing. Like, totally, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's one of those things that we don't always see, we don't always feel, and therefore we're not thinking that we're experiencing it. But that's an illusion. Every time we get up in the morning, dunamis power is residing within us. It's giving life to our mortal bodies. And we're being more alive now than we were the day before.
Yeah.
That's that changing from glory to glory. Some people say, well, what if you're struggling, you're not following God and stuff? That doesn't stop God's power from working in us. It's God at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's at work in us. Now, when we are obedient to do and to will of his good pleasure, he leaves that up to us.
Right.
He's not going to force Tim tomorrow. Okay, Tim, you're going to walk this out. And if you don't, I'm going to break your arm. I mean, he just doesn't do that. But he gives us the Holy Spirit who inspires us to do of that good pleasure. But it still doesn't negate that life is in us.
Yeah, it's a faith walk.
It's a faith walk. I mean, it's so easy to say as individuals, as people, that we have to act a certain way to be worthy to have God at work in us. But that's not what God does. That's not the way that he chose to do it. He chose to, in earthen vessels, broken down earthen vessels, to pour his glory. And his glory is only as dormant as we allow it to be.
Right.
But it's always there. And I believe working in us to turn us and move us back into the place that he wants us.
It's not by our power that we're made whole, that we are washed clean. It's by his power. And my dad, when my dad came to the Lord, he was a drinker, he was a smoker, he was a cusser, he was a Navy man, he was mean and rough and all of those things. And he said, well, when I stop smoking and I stop drinking and I stop cussing, I'll come to Jesus. And I'm like, what man ever caught a fish completely clean? God fishes for you, pulls you up. He does the cleaning, not you. So don't take so much on yourself. Let God do the cleaning. Let God do the sanctifying in your body, in your life. And just because it doesn't feel like that dunamis power is in you doesn't negate the fact that it is in you.
Right.
And we live far below our inheritance. We don't have to. We do not have to live that far below.
Okay. Go ahead and read kind of these two together, even though they're 20 verses apart.
Okay, it's 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 15:42. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. So it is with the resurrection of the dead, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable.
For by a man came death, what man? Adam and Eve. By man came death, so by a man, Christ Jesus, has come the resurrection of the dead. So this is, again, this is telling us and communicating to us that as Jesus was raised from the dead, that he didn't do it just for himself. He didn't do it just as when Adam sinned way back 6,000 something years ago or something like that. Who knows exactly the timeline? Yeah. That he sinned for all of mankind, and so all of mankind was under the curse of sin. Now, Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, all of mankind is under the resurrection of Christ. What keeps us from entering into that is our acknowledgement of what he has done for us. That's why it says those who believe. Believe in what? Believe that he was resurrected for them. Believe that his blood cleanses them from all unrighteousness. That's what our belief is in. Our belief is in a finished work. It's not up to, we don't have to believe for it to be true.
No.
It is a finished work. I mean, I didn't have to believe that Jesus died for my sins for him to have died for my sins. He died for my sins. But I had to believe that he did that.
Exactly.
Same thing with this. We have to receive the true reality that resurrection is ours. This resurrection life that justifies, that gives us newness of life, that causes us to be, what was the last one? I'm trying to find it here. Oh, quickening our mortal bodies. That same spirit that was in Christ Jesus is in us, giving life to our mortal bodies. Amen? So what's it say? So with the resurrection of the dead, this is what it's saying. What is sown perishable. So what does that mean? Well, what's born here on this earth is perishable. It's temporal. It decays, you know. I mean, any of you who have gotten older, you've seen that you get gray hair, right, Zeke? You know, I mowed the lawn again yesterday. I mowed it last week, so I thought, okay, well, I'm feeling pretty good today. I was still sore and in a lot of pain from mowing the lawn yesterday and doing yard work. And it's like, wow, I just don't remember hurting this much before, you know? And it's that perishable tent that we're in. You know, has anybody seen a tent that's been out in the weather for 10 years? Probably not. There's probably nothing left of it if it's been out there 10 years. The sun has decayed it. Whatever was holding it might still be up there. But, I mean, after a certain amount of time, those canvas tents are just going to deteriorate. And that's what we're described of. But even though we're sown perishable, we are raised imperishable.
Love that.
We are resurrected imperishable. No decay. Now, I have a friend who believes that even now in this life, because of the Holy Spirit giving life to our mortal bodies, that we don't have to suffer decay here. And there are individuals who have believed this, and actually people who have seen their driver's license from 10 years apart said they looked younger. So there may be even more to this imperishable than what we've been able to receive in reality. But at the very least, when we say goodbye to this life, when we take our last breath, or when we're caught up into glory, however it works, we're imperishable.
Right.
No decay.
Right.
No more surgeries.
Yeah.
Praise God, right?
Amen.
And finally, 1 Peter 1:3-4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you.
You know, every now and then you come across the scripture that is one like, wow, I think this is one that I just need to commit to memory, because I have it kind of paraphrased, but it's so powerful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. So we were talking about how this hope of glory in this idea that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This, again, we're being born into a hope that is alive. We're being born into a promise that is non-refutable, non-refundable. It's a done deal. It's settled. And so even though we still have to hope for it, it's one that we can totally bank on and count on. There is no taking back by God. God is not an Indian giver. You know, he doesn't give you this living hope and then you start going and doing your own thing and then he says, well, you know what, I'm taking back my living hope. No, he's going to continue to do whatever he has to do to get you back on the track that he wants you on. But he doesn't take back our living hope.
Right.
At any time we can say, Lord, I just surrender back to your plan. That's all we have to do. Forgive me for my sidetrack that I went on, my backsliding I went on, and he will restore us back. Now, this living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That through literally is the word die, and it means that it's what gives us this living hope. So the resurrection of Jesus is the key to our living hope. So if you're saying, well, I don't have much of a living hope, well, then focus on the resurrection of Jesus. Focus on what he accomplished when he overcame death, hell, and the grave. When he, after 3 days in darkness, came and brought light to all mankind. Focus on that. And when you do, this gives us access to an inheritance. And then again, we have this word imperishable. Means non-corruptible, no decay. It can't be taken back. It's undefiled. In other words, there's no way that it can be defiled. There's no way that it can't be holy. It's fully holy, and it's unfading. In other words, it's not going to wear out. It's not going to get sun bleached. It's not going to get aged. It's waiting for us in heaven. It's waiting for us in heaven. So Christ has what? Made us alive in him through the Spirit. And this alive is in us because of the resurrection. We have been resurrected into newness of life. We have been resurrected into his life. Not just a new life, but it's his life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So when we think of resurrection on Sunday morning, it's easy to picture an empty tomb. It's easy to picture a stone that's been rolled back. It's easy to picture the disciples interacting with Jesus, then on the road to Emmaus. But this resurrection power is meant to be transferred into today in you and I. That's why years ago I preached a sermon, Easter, just another day. And I know it sounds kind of, you know, what's the word I want to say? Irreverent. But my point being is that Easter is only as powerful as the life that it then lives in. The resurrection was the event that then opened the door for mankind to receive that event. See, Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth. You don't think he was resurrected from the foundations of the earth? It was a completed work. He administrated the final act. But in the heart of God, it was a done deal. I know that's hard for us to capture, but it's the truth. And so what we do then is we have that resurrected day, resurrection day, now live in us. It now becomes alive in us. And so the day that you received Christ was your Easter day, was your resurrection day. And then the next day was your resurrection day, because now you're living in his resurrection power. So at the end of that message, I said, every day is Easter, really, because people all over the world receive that resurrection life. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can celebrate, say happy Easter. We can be thankful that Jesus, but true resurrection happened when Jesus then got hold of his disciples and now said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that life that was extinguished here and renewed was then distributed to mankind. That's when resurrection power became it. Not just when Jesus rose from the dead, but when that power was transferred to you and I and transferred to the disciples. When John, after that day that he was so solemn and probably, you know, crying and Saturday, that he was remembering, I'm sure, the good, great times with Jesus and the words that he had spoken. But when Jesus rose from the dead, and I believe on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, filled them, all of a sudden, a new level of resurrection became apparent to them. Mm-hmm. That's what Peter is trying to say. This resurrection from the dead is your living hope. Amen.
It's not something that happened a long time ago.
Right.
It happened for us for today.
If we don't know Christ, then of course Easter just seems like an event that we're looking at and maybe going to church and experiencing an Easter Sunday. But if we know him, then every day is a resurrection day. Every day is a day that resurrection power quickens us, right, and gives life to our mortal body, gives us that newness of life, which is Christ's life. Mm-hmm. See, to live is Christ's life. I don't live in my own power anymore. When I do, I fail, I make mistakes, I end up, you know, having setbacks. But when I live in the resurrection power of Christ, and I do that only by faith, then things that even apparently are trying to go bad turn to good. Mm-hmm. Because God is making them turn to my good. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any more input or something that was on your heart burning while we were sharing? Anyone? Roger? Yeah, I thought you did, Roger. Come on up and...
Just one more thing. The resurrection validated Jesus' claims about himself.
Amen. And that's why they preached the resurrection, because it was the way of saying he is true. Because he rose from the dead, and we saw him afterwards, and we handled him, and we touched him. Yeah. That's really good.
By faith, by revelation, that's what moves us into resurrection newness of life. And you're right, Mike, it's on a daily basis.
It's on a daily basis.
You live that every day.
Right. Not wait for whatever Easter is next year to live another day in resurrection. It's every day. And it requires us to focus on it. It requires us to... That's why communion is so powerful. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes I take communion more times than when we do here. Because I want to remember what Jesus has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. Because I don't just think of his death and burial when I take communion. I'm reminding myself that he overcame all of the obstacles that were before him. And his extinguished life was one of them. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you love the world so much that you gave us Jesus. That you allowed your Son, your precious Son, the very heart of who you were, the Word that became flesh, to be brutalized and beaten and ridiculed and scorned and lacerated. And Lord, eventually being put in a tomb and hidden away. But he wasn't hidden away, Lord. He was incubating, Lord, in your very divine plan. And Jesus, you rose from the dead, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you have conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, because you have dominion over death, Lord, death has no hold on us. There's no reason to be afraid. What shall I fear but you alone, Lord? Who shall I fear but you alone, Lord? And so, Lord, we thank you that your resurrection life is giving life to every single one of our bodies here today. And not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and the day after. Lord, we ask that your resurrection power, Lord, that raised you from the dead, Lord, that it would continue to give supernatural life to us, Lord, so that we can overcome every obstacle, every barrier that the enemy tries to put in our way, every lie and every trick of the enemy, Lord, that it would be swallowed up, Lord, in what you have accomplished, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
That's it, huh? All right. Praise the Lord.
Happy blessed resurrection day, you guys.
Happy blessed resurrection day. Hey, I just want to let you guys know, I didn't want to get into it, but because of some, and it has nothing to do with Jesse. This is no fault of Jesse. Don't turn back and him go, oh, shame, shame. While we were singing up there, almost for half of the music, we lost all monitors. So if it sounded weird, we just ask you to forgive us. But we Jesse said he could still hear us out here, so we just kept singing. And you guys who sang, you guys did a great job. I mean, for what was happening up there, and you smiled. I mean, come on.
Yeah, didn't get out there.
Yeah, we were living in resurrected life, weren't we? Amen. It was an illustrated sermon. All right, God bless you all. Have a great day. If anybody wants seconds or double...